working. Can you hear me now? Up more? Danny says up more. Can you hear me? Up some? There we go. Now you can hear me. All right. So, was pretty excited last Sunday because, well, first of all, I've been preparing this message. I think I told Bob about the sheep and the shepherd like at least 4 months ago. And have done some other messages in there. And the Lord's just been feeding me bit by bit about this until it was time to really put it together, you know. Of course, I've been asking him along the way, is this the direction you want me to go? Am I going the right direction with this? And it was interesting. Last Sunday, Denny spoke, and two of the scriptures that he spoke about, Psalm 42 and Genesis 3, are part of the front side of this message. So that was a blessing just to have the Lord's assurance that, yep, you're headed the right direction, keep going. And got later in the week here, and there was a issue that came up. It's got nothing to do with my wife. She's not here this morning. She wasn't feeling well, and there's another reason I'll get to here in a moment. But there was something that come up that caused me to lose some sleep a couple nights in a row, and I kind of talked to Bob about that. It was yesterday. And he was like, yeah, you know, kind of chuckled because I'm speaking today. So, of course, you know, you would run into that. Well, this morning, I was washing my hands, and all of a sudden the water stopped. Now, this is probably... I'd say this is the third time this has happened when I go to speak. So I believe that if for only one person, there's something very important that the Lord has to put out there today. So I went down to the mechanical room, and I opened the door, and there was water everywhere. And so I walked in to try and clarify where the problem was. And I saw an extension cord laying on the floor there in the puddle, and I followed it back around behind me and saw it still plugged in. And I'm standing in that water. And so I backed up rather quickly. Just said, Satan, you're not getting me on that one. God said no. So, of course, I'm not complaining here. I'm happy to be here, excited to give this message because I can see there's something important in there. And of course, I did not get to take a shower. And now I roll back to where my wife is not here. A lady without a shower, you know, she wasn't feeling well, and I probably could have leveraged her to come, but no shower. Well, I wasn't even going to try. So, praise the Lord that I made it unharmed in this instance. That was definitely scary. Appreciate the Lord's protection around me there. So, as I mentioned, this message is Shepherd of the Sheep. And thought I had it all wrapped up, you know, the Lord had given me everything, and just kind of marveled at how I, kind of a couple days early, was wrapped up, and I have time to review it. And well, with the nature of things happening, yesterday's, partly Bob's message yesterday, and some discussions that were had, and seeing some old faces brought a new piece to this that I did not have time to write into it. So it's going to be ad lib when we get to that point. And pray the Lord will give me the words, because I'm not good, as Tristan knows, as speaking from the cuff. So let's get started with that. Now, today, there will be some areas of Scripture that I just read out, but when we get to the Psalms, and those will be 22, 23, and 24 for reference, we'll go ahead and turn there when we get to that, just to let you know that's coming up. But again, the title of this message is The Shepherd of the Sheep. And the reference to sheep is used over 500 times in the Bible. Now that passes Denny's test. If it's mentioned a lot of times, you know that it's important and the reference to it really means something. So 500 times in the Bible between Genesis and Revelation. That's not to mention, that doesn't even include the reference to the shepherd, which is even further. And there's places in Scripture where you never thought it was referring to sheep or the shepherd, and it actually is. We'll cover a little bit of that. So God uses sheep as an allegory for humans throughout Scripture. We are his sheep. And Jesus uses the analogy of a shepherd and his sheep to describe his relationship with his people. And now you can start to see the importance of that. In fact, in 1 Peter 2:25, he says, "For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And of course, that was Peter that said that. Now let's talk a little bit about sheep in general. And Chuck will probably appreciate some of this. He has sheep. Sheep have no sense of direction, but they do have flocking instincts and prefer to stay in groups. They will follow other sheep blindly and are easily led astray. They copy other sheep's actions. Sheep can express and understand emotions, preferring positive facial expressions. Now, I don't know how they figured that out, but but this comes from shepherds, people who deal with sheep, and even show signs of depression when stressed or isolated. They have good memories, recognizing other sheep and human faces, as well as recognizing their shepherd's voice. That's an important one. We'll come back to that, of course. Sheep are generally defenseless. They don't even have front teeth on the top. I did not realize that before. They are unable to carry a burden. Have you ever seen someone riding a sheep other than the little kid at the fair? Nothing cuter than that, right? Or a pack saddle mounted on one. So they are not meant to carry a burden. Sheep cannot get up without help if they end up on their back. Now this is called cast down. Now you have probably seen this in Scripture in Psalm 42 100 times. Okay, so Psalm 42 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" says David the shepherd. So that's very interesting. When a sheep is like this, it is helpless to the prey around it, of course. It's kind of like when a stink bug gets put on their back and they just sit there and do this. Sheep can also not care for themselves when wounded. They don't lick their wounds to heal them like a dog would. Sheep will settle for less, drinking from dirty water when clean water is right over there. I just saw Chuck's head nod. Yeah, also, that's the very next sentence. Sheep will also not drink from rough waters. They must be led to still waters and good pastures to eat from. Sheep are also represented as food, clothing, and sacrifice in the Bible. It is interesting that sheepskins were often used as parchments. Remember when Paul called to bring the parchments? So parchments are what the Word of God was originally written on. Now it is even more interesting that to make parchments, all of the flesh has to be removed, and then they are stretched, so the Word of God could be written on them. Now, when the Word of God is written on us, it removes the flesh and stretches us. That's kind of an interesting relationship there. So it's likely that one of the first references to sheep is in Genesis 3:21. That passage you referenced it for a different reason. But nonetheless, that's just after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And Genesis 3:7 actually. That says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So that was just after they had sinned in the garden. And of course, the sin, that established the need for a sacrifice for sin. So God himself orchestrated a sacrifice, Genesis 3:21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So God himself orchestrated that sacrifice to atone for their sins, as he would do so once more when Jesus Christ was the Lamb who was slain. He rejected Adam and Eve's coverings, which were the fig leaves, and provided his own, that of sheepskin. Now, I realize the Bible doesn't say sheepskin. There is a, if you follow that through the Bible, the lamb and the sacrifice, and it's pretty well believed, understood, that was likely to have been a lamb, that sacrifice, because Jesus would be the lamb later. So, truly, it was the blood which gave atonement, just as Christ's blood finally cleansed us once and for all. Now, it is easy to understand why sheep have need of a shepherd. And we only need to look to Jesus for what that looks like, because he is the true shepherd. And John 10:27-28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's sums up that sheep and shepherd relationship there, and Jesus says it himself. Jesus revealed himself as the shepherd of the sheep, and he told that he would call his sheep, and he promised that he would keep his sheep in his loving care. Now, Jesus being the shepherd of the sheep is revealed in three psalms, and that's our Psalms 22, 23, and 24. Of course, we'll start in 22. And these psalms are referred to as the shepherd psalms, and they point us to Jesus, who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. And that's not my choice of words, that is the biblical outline of. And it's very interesting how that takes place here. This Psalm 22 is the Good Shepherd Psalm. It tells of the Good Shepherd as a suffering servant who came for the lost sheep and gave himself as the sacrificial lamb. At the cross, he was the lamb who was slain, but also the shepherd saving his sheep. And then the new parallel testament verses that we'll go to after we look at Psalm 22, 14 through 18 specifically, then we'll go to John 10 after that. But this is Psalm 22, 14 through 18. This is the shepherd on the cross, Jesus. And these are his words. And you might ask, well, this was in Psalm in the Old Testament. How can that be Jesus? Well, as I mentioned before, Psalm is very prophetic, the Psalms, throughout. Just went through the Psalms with a commentary on it, very good, and it really touched on the prophetic nature of the Psalms. And when you hear this psalm, you'll realize this is Jesus on the cross. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now Jesus conquered death and lives to be the door through which the sheep enter the sheepfold and the shepherd who calls them. And then when we look at John 10, 7 through 7 through 15, that says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, an interesting thing about this is that when shepherds turn their sheep in for the day, they herd them into an enclosed area, whether it's a steep ravine that's closed off at one end, or an outcropping of rocks. And the shepherd lays himself across the entrance such that he is the door, the only way in or out. Now we'll look at Psalm 23. And at Psalm 22, again, that was the good shepherd. Now Psalm 23, that's the great shepherd psalm. And this speaks of the resurrected shepherd. Psalm 23 is the great shepherd psalm. It speaks of the great shepherd's love, comfort, and faithfulness that meets the daily needs of the sheep and gives them direction and hope. Now Psalm 23, 1 through 6 reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the parallel New Testament verses to that, that remind us of the perfecting work of the Great Shepherd, is Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. That's Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. And that says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus is the great shepherd. Now we can look at Psalm 24. That's the chief shepherd psalm. That actually speaks of the shepherd who will one day return, the chief shepherd. Psalm 24 is known as the chief shepherd psalm. This psalm speaks of a time yet to come when Jesus will come for all sheep who have heard his voice and followed him. And that's Psalm 24, 7 through 10. And that says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Now, it is a future time when all earth will know that the shepherd is so sovereign over all and fulfills the chief shepherd's role as King of glory. And the corresponding New Testament verse to that is 1 Peter 5, 4. That's 1 Peter 5, 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." That kind of sums up our hope, most certainly. The theme of a shepherd tending sheep runs throughout the Bible. A shepherd is a caretaker of the sheep. Now, we have a little bit of trivia here, and I'll require some answers from the folks out there. Who was the first shepherd in the Bible? Yes.
Oh, no.
All right, there we go. Abel is the answer. And I'll go ahead and go through Abraham, Lot, Jacob, rascal. Joseph, Moses, David, obviously. I guess I didn't realize that Amos and Zechariah were shepherds. Again, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Now, anyone else is an under-shepherd. whether it be Peter, who Jesus called to feed his sheep three different times. whether it be Peter, Paul, you, or myself, we all serve one master, and the sheep we care for, whether it be few or many, are his sheep that he purchased with his blood. So often we think of the word shepherd, we think of pastor. Now, let me clarify. A full-time pastor is a dedicated under-shepherd. Now, I'm going to back up here for just a second and say that if you say shepherd, nobody's going to come and write you a ticket. This is just for clarity that we all serve one shepherd. He is the true shepherd. So within the rest of this message, I'll refer to Peter, Paul, you, or myself as an under-shepherd because we serve that great shepherd. I'll repeat the last sentence. So often we think of the word shepherd, we think of pastor. A full-time pastor is a dedicated under-shepherd, kind of 24/7, so to speak. I'm not saying that we expect a pastor to be 24/7, but we probably well know. I'll bet we have a pastor in the group here that would attest that being a pastor covers just about all hours of the day. So there is a specific nature to a pastor that I do not wish to water down or minimize, and certainly not saying that we need to be like a pastor, rather saying that we all partake in the care of the flock in different aspects. Now, I would like to set aside the full-time pastor today because he is a dedicated shepherd. And that deserves a certain amount of understanding and realization of what goes into that. So much so that we would do well to dedicate a message to that understanding. Especially when we, if or when we near the time of looking closer at a pastor, it would be appropriate to realize that difference, that dedication that a pastor makes to under-shepherding that's different from the rest of the body. It doesn't place him above. It's still beside. But it is definitely a special thing there, that dedication. The other reason I would like to set the pastor aside today is so that there is no confusion as trying to advocate for women pastors. In fact, I'm not advocating for or against women pastors today, not even touching that subject, just want to realize their importance in the caring of Jesus' sheep. We should understand that we all act as under-shepherds at different times and in varying aspects. Men, women, and youth all play a role in this. So, speaking of women, moms are a fine example of shepherding, both physically and spiritually. Now, let's take that a step further, and we'll look at, can anyone tell me the first woman mentioned in the Bible that was a shepherd? This, when you hear this one, it'll come to you. It's easier than you thought. I'll go ahead and answer this one. It's Rachel. She was a shepherd. Yeah. And Zipporah. Do you know who Zipporah was? There's the trivia part of that one. I gave you that she was a shepherd, but Zipporah was Moses' first wife, I think. Yeah. So she was a shepherd as well. They were actual shepherds, but there were women at the time of Christ and after who took part in under-shepherding. The Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. She went and proclaimed Christ to many men, and they believed. And you can reference John 4 to see that. Many of the early churches were hosted by women, and this was not just serving tea and crumpets. They were deeply involved in the under-shepherding aspect of the church. Now, I'll give you, Paul actually names specifically those women in his books. And I'll give you the names, and I'll give you the reference with the name. We're not going to turn there for each one. But you, just so you can be Berean and make sure I'm on track here. So Lydia, that's Acts 16. Chloe, that's 1 Corinthians 1. Apphia, that's Philemon 1. Nympha, that's Colossians 4. And Mary, the mother of Mark, that's Acts 12. They were all commended by Paul as hosting churches in their homes. Now, specifically, we will look, and if you want to turn there, that's fine. It's Romans 16:3. Priscilla is specifically mentioned with her husband, Achaia. And I hope I'm doing my best to pronounce these, so... The Romans 16:3, that reads, "Greet Priscilla and Achaia, my fellow workers in Christ." Notice that, my fellow workers in Christ. Notice Paul refers to them as fellow workers, not his minions or lesser than himself, but both Priscilla and Achaia. Priscilla, in case you don't know, Priscilla was the woman. Achaia was her husband. I know that might be a little confusing with those names, maybe. he actually mentions Priscilla first, and as well doesn't just say Aquila and his wife. He values both of them equal to his own self in the work of Christ. Now, referring to Apollos, we remember Apollos, Paul and Apollos. There is in Scripture, some were students of Paul and some were students of Apollos. So, pretty well-known guy. In Acts 18:26, we can see that it says, "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Achaia and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Now notice that Paul didn't leave Priscilla out. He said, Aquila and Priscilla. He didn't just say, Aquila, you know, he didn't think, you know, that's the man's thing and, you know, put the wife aside. And no, he refers to both of them, and they both had a part in taking Apollos aside and explaining to him the way of God more accurately. Basically, Apollos was missing the part about salvation. He wasn't up to speed on the movement back then, keeping in mind that the church was just beginning and this was all new. He knew up to the teachings of John, and he didn't know beyond that. So they took him aside and educated him on the proper teachings of Christ, basically. So in Acts 9, we see Dorcas, or if you don't like that name, or perhaps I'm not pronouncing it right. That's what it looks like to me. Tabitha was also her name, and that's in Acts 9. Now, she is actually, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, She is the only woman in the Bible named as a disciple, specifically, and called out so in Acts 9. Now, she was an under-shepherd to the widows in her community. And such a powerful ministry she had that Peter was compelled to bring her back from the dead. The widows lined up with their garments that Dorcas had sewn. That was her ministry. Kind of reminds you of Linda and Judy and Dixie sewing the quilts and handing them out. And with that, let's look at the local body here, where we saw Sonia do a fine job of directing the VBS. I'm not discounting all of the help that went into that, but just recognizing that that was a huge undertaking. I'm sure at some point you all saw it in here, and that's wonderful. Now, I had the privilege of seeing, and this, for me personally, this was my favorite kind of moment in VBS, was where Maggie was not just literally feeding the little sheeps, but she would sit down with them and feed them the gospel after she had prepared the food and served it to them. And I see Lucien saw that too. I know you were present for that. What a blessing to oh yeah, amazing. Yeah. Yes, I absolutely agree. It, wow. That's what I thought when I saw it. And then Lucien, of course, is the hostess with the mostest. And the wonderful thing in the aspect of under-shepherding that comes into that is she desires to follow Scripture and pass that on to the young ladies. And that's noticed, that's seen. Now, women have strengths in some areas of under-shepherding that men do not. Tender, loving, care, empathy, and compassion, to name a few. Now, when you think of men, I know you don't think of those things. So there is, you know, some specific and non-specific things that the ladies have to offer to that under-shepherding. And here's the part where I kind of thread in some ad-lib things where Ellie... And I'm going to pick on everyone today. There isn't one person I'm not going to pick on in here. Ellie does the Christmas boxes. I know she does many other things as well. She helped with VBS, you know, but I'm just pointing out that she kind of directs that whole thing, and that's the whole year, you know, building up to that. Quite a thing. And Sandy, I know, is giving out cards in the past, and she brings her beautiful singing voice here on Sunday. I love to hear you sing. It's nice. And I know you used to volunteer at the school too. Or I don't know if you volunteered or not, but that's not the point. You were involved in teaching at the school, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I saw Dina yesterday passing out cookies. She has a desire to, and it, that's the thing, is any time we're caretaking the Jesus' sheep, we're involved in that under-shepherding. And Jolynn as well, and Benji. I haven't got to the men yet, but Jolynn and Benji have done some wonderful work in the building here, and I know she had a part in that awesome dinner that we had, that Benji made. I'll get to that part. I'm kind of getting into the men there before I get to that part of the message. Now, I don't believe I missed anyone. There'll be some more people I mention here, and I'll tie that all together, hopefully, as this is the ad lib part. Well, my wife, she decorates, and that kind of provides a peaceful, comfortable atmosphere, and she does the bulletin. And, of course, Anne does the clothing closet. I'm going to go on until I cover everyone. It's important. You'll see. So we can also see the youth in under-shepherding as well. Have you ever heard of Timothy? That's that guy that Tristan's talking about here lately. Timothy was influenced by his grandmother and mother as well as Paul. If we just look to 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first." Now, I'm going to stop there. Dwelt. Paul saw that faith dwelt. It wasn't just a passing thing. That faith lived in, and he says, first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. So he saw that faith dwelt in grandma, in daughter, in son. A generational under-shepherding that takes place there, not just in family. In this case, it's family and it's spiritual, but it takes place here in the church. And that's really the core of what the Lord laid on my heart after yesterday, and we'll get to that. So in that, of course, this under-shepherding, and this is a scriptural aspect as well. Some plant the seed, some water, some harvest, and I'm going to take it a step further and say some grind the wheat, and some bake the bread. That's a plug for Tristan. Gur is an excellent example of youth and under-shepherding. He goes to camp and chases sheep all around the camp and feeds them the gospel as well. He himself, no doubt, has someone who also under-shepherds him at camp. If not Dirk, I'm sure, you know, Robert McDowell or on down the list. There's lots of people involved in that. We can see that we are both sheep and under shepherd. And of course, I don't want to leave Sam, Mal, and Link out. They all do the sound and the music. They take part in that. Good job. So obviously, then we have men that partake in under shepherding, and I saw Maggie's son as well, was Tristan's, the oldest boy, right? Andrew, you're right, okay. I'll get it one of these days. I got these guys figured out now, so I'm feeling pretty good. Obviously then we have men that partake in under-shepherding. Mike is an under-shepherd when he does Bible study. Mike does the sign, but I know something else that Mike does is he goes and visits brothers. I've seen him do that. Well, I know that he's done that. Bob is an under-shepherd. Bob's been an under-shepherd to us all over the years. And I think I'll kind of skip forward at this point. Well, I'm going to say Chuck. Chuck is an under-shepherd. He, talk about chasing sheep. He chases the, well, he probably chases the sheep at his house too, but he chases those little sheep around this building, the little kids, and he tickles them, puts a smile on their face, and then they pick on him. When they get older and they're bigger than Chuck, they come and pick on him. But that tells you something. Tristan has an amazing ability with the youth, with the kids. I've had opportunity to see that many times over the years with adventure clubs, Awana, that kind of thing. But at VBS, that really stood out to me. Appreciate that. And like I mentioned, Benji and Jo Lynn brought us a wonderful feast. And those things, that's all part of under-shepherding. Under-shepherding really covers a lot of area. It covers any time there's taking care of the other sheep. You know, that's under-shepherding, whether it be feeding literally or feeding the gospel, discipling, serving in any way. Many things fall under that under-shepherding, that caretaking of Jesus' sheep. So that's kind of brings me, and if I missed anyone, I know I don't think I missed anyone here today. And of course, Tristan and Judy do the music for us each week. That is wonderful. That's all part of it. And kind of what I'm getting at here, especially with hearing Bob's message on Marge, is those people that came before us. And what Bob spoke about was that we are the beneficiary of those under-shepherds that came before us. Ah, you have a desire to give out the word of God. I didn't forget you. We were talking the other day when we had men's study, but we didn't. he was talking about liking to give out the word of God. But coming back to the Bob's message that said that we are the beneficiary of those coming before us. And yesterday, I got to see some old faces, and it really took me back and tied this all together, where I remember that in that generational, and it, like I said, it doesn't have to be family. It can be this family. It can be our blood relatives. And with that, you see Pastor Stan and Debbie used to lead, Debbie used to lead the music. Stan was a pastor. They've given all of this, all of us, kind of left us an inheritance as they've either passed on or moved on. Al and Marge not only passed on to us, Al used to help with the offering. And he included my son in that, and Jeff Farrington, or not Jeff, Dylan Farrington. He had them help pass the plates around, and he always included them in that. But also, he and Marge passed that down to Paul and Ann. As Paul mentioned yesterday, that had a huge impact on his life. In fact, that's where salvation come from. Now, I'm not discrediting, this is all glory to Christ. We know the Spirit leads us, but there's another aspect that, and that's really what we're trying to look at here today, is that under-shepherding, and especially that came before us, and we tend to forget those things. I know I did. Yesterday brought a lot of that back, because I remember Ruth and Roy. Roy used to teach a computer class upstairs at the school, the Bible school. Ruth and Roy were kind of key in setting up home Bible studies. And there at one time they were involved in a number of them. And Bob has always been, keep in mind, this goes back 50 years. Marge and Al and Bob and Laura Lee basically started this church with God's blessing and the Holy Spirit guiding them. I'm sure some others were quickly involved in that. Bob goes back to that era as well. Bob has, of course, been involved in being an elder, a Sunday school teacher, delivering the message, and mentoring. He's mentored me. There was a discussion had yesterday about mentoring that was spot on, but I thought about it afterwards, and I thought, I've had a lot of mentoring here at this church, especially from Bob, from Roy, you know, of course, Mike and Chuck, Pastor Stan, you know, all had a part in that. Yes, how could I forget my mom and dad? Boy, is this being recorded? Because I'm going to be in trouble. Dad was, he was an elder. He was in, he was the director of Awana, and Mom was involved in that. And the Secret Sisters, I was looking at the old pictures. I was trying to find pictures for Marge's memorial. I wanted to do something special for that, for Paul and Ann, and I just couldn't. There's so many pictures there that I couldn't find them like I thought I could. But going through there, just seeing that under shepherding and all of those pictures going on, the secret sister parties and decorations, the Awana, and there used to be 100 kids in Awana here. And we haven't lost a thing from that. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, we lost Marge. People have moved on. But what I'm trying to say is that through that under-shepherding, that's been passed on to us. We all have that. What the effort that all of those people put in. And that, of course, is the same effort that we put in. I know that... That's one of the things that Denny noticed. He's said to me quite a number of times that stood out to him is how everyone is doing something here. Everyone is involved in some kind of aspect, and that's all that serving, that under-shepherding. And that's been passed down to us generationally from those people that came before us. You know, and how fortunate we are, because when Marge and Al and Bob and Laura Lee started the church, and Sandy too, I don't want to forget Sandy. Sandy has played a huge part in the church here in the past. And I know when I get home, I'll think of 10 people that I missed, and darn it. But... where was I going with that? This is why I don't ad-lib, because I am diabetic and I get brain fog. It's like, it's gone. how fortunate the people that started this church, how fortunate we are that they came before us, because they started in, I'm sure they had under-shepherding in their lives to get where they were at to start this church, but they didn't have that collective of 50 years to draw on, 50 years of experience in the Lord, and the Lord working in a church, the Holy Spirit influencing people's lives, and what a blessing we have to be able to draw on that. As Bob said, we are the beneficiary of that, and those people are the benefactors. And I had to look that up just to be sure what that means. The benefactor is the people who provide the inheritance, what the beneficiaries receive. But yet, just like there is a shepherd and the sheep, we are, even though we're beneficiaries, we are also benefactors. We will pass this on to other folks. And what a wonderful position to be in for new people as we start to grow, for new people to come into this church and see the Lord at work and to see it done right. We're not perfect at it, but with Christ as our cornerstone, we have such a foundation to build upon. And that's really the crux of that ad lib part of the message is those that came before us. And with that said, I'll move on. Jesus is the model example for shepherding. His under shepherds willingly and humbly serve in whatever capacity needed, exemplifying the love of Christ and godly character. And that's what I see when I look out at everyone here and when I think of those people that have come before us. When we do the work of under-shepherd, we're exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit, ministering to others, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, discipling, proclaiming the gospel to the lost. When we serve in the body, we're not just completing a task, we're caring for Jesus' sheep that he purchased with his blood. In closing, we do well to remember that we are all Jesus' sheep, and he likens us to sheep for a reason. If we look back to the characteristics of sheep, we see that they copy each other. Let me give some illustrations. There was a farmer who gathered his sheep in a barn and then stretched a rope across the exit and led the sheep out. They began to jump over the rope, and then he untied the rope and it dropped to the ground. Yet the sheep still continued to follow the example of the sheep in front of them and jump over the rope as if it was still there. Here is another one. In the year 2005, I clarify the year because I'm going to throw some numbers, other numbers out there, in Turkey, of all places. So, not talking about turkeys, talking about sheep. This was, okay, let me start over. In the year 2005, in the country of Turkey, a flock of 1,500 sheep jumped off a cliff, resulting in the death of four. Now, I looked this up extensively to make sure I'm not just telling some silly internet thing. This is true. resulting in the death of 450 sheep. So, the remaining sheep survived because the pile of sheep bodies cushioned their fall at the bottom of the cliff. So that tells you all the sheep went over the cliff. This event, likely triggered by herd behavior, that sheep copying sheep, occurred when one sheep initially jumped off and the rest followed despite the potential danger. Now, doesn't this remind you of Mom when she asked you, if little Johnny jumps off a cliff, are you going to jump off too? She only said this because you had already done something that Johnny did. We should be mindful of the other sheep that may copy what we do. May it be a positive influence and not a negative one. I like how Denny says, before we're a believer, we're walking one direction. And then when we come to know Jesus, we turn around and walk the other way towards Jesus. And when we do that, we join the herd, so to speak. with all of the other sheep, and we begin to copy and be copied. May it be Christ that is the master copy. Now today, if Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, is not your Savior, now this is truly in closing here. Now today, if Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, is not your Savior, then please talk to someone about that. If you don't know Jesus, then you are following the death shepherd. And that is scriptural as well. You could look that up in Psalm 49, I think, is where that is. So I'll repeat that, though. If you don't know Jesus, then you are following the death shepherd, and he will lead you unto eternal death and devour you. We serve one master, one shepherd, and may that be the great, the good, the great, and the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He leads us through life and gives us everything we need, and praise you that he doesn't give us what we want. He takes care of us, he loves us, he nurtures us, but he also gives us the privilege of being under shepherds to help in caring for the sheep that he paid for with his blood. And we are thankful that we have a Savior that would walk amongst us, and that he would be the sacrificial lamb. But yet as he was on the cross, he was also the shepherd saving his sheep. We thank you for those that came before us, Father, that legacy, that heritage that you've given us, that you've built, and that the Holy Spirit has brought forth from these people who have been under shepherds before us. And what a wonderful collective of teaching and understanding and building of a legacy there for this body, this church, to draw from. So much that it's influenced us to the point where we all partake in that and desire to serve you because of course what Christ has done, of course what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do, leads us to do, but also that example that has come before us. And again, Father, we pray that we would be that example as well, and to remember that sheep copy sheep. And there is a reason that you likened in your word the representation of Christ and people as shepherd and sheep. And we pray to take this teaching forward and that heritage forward as we build this church and as it grows, to pass that on. And that we would take this application into our lives each day. May we be in the Word each day and give out your word to others, to save a lost and dying world, to save the lost sheep, so to speak. We thank you again for our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he's done, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives. And we pray this in the powerful and awesome name of Jesus. Amen.